This gospel story was ruined 70 years ago by a vicar in London. He was a man who started 70 years ago the organization called the Samaritans. And of course they do amazing work. They are fantastic at helping people in all sorts of different ways. And so when we hear the word Samaritan, we think of good people. Except Jesus, when he was talking to this woman, the people of his time didn't think the Samaritans were good people. It says very politely, they don't associate with them. They don't associate with them. They loathe them. They hate them. They despise them. I mean, it's only gone on for about 700 years, this animosity between the two groups. You see, when the Jewish people went into exile to Assyria, the people left behind were the Samaritans. And they claimed they were the real Jews, and the Jews said, no, we went into exile, we're the real Jews. And they came back, and they fought with each other and disliked each other. In fact, they wouldn't even go into each other's countries, really. You very seldom found a good Jew going into there. So Jesus not only goes into their country, but, excuse me, a rabbi, a good rabbi, wouldn't even talk to his wife in public, let alone talk to a woman he doesn't know. And there's Jesus talking to this woman. His apostles are scandalized. And what's more, he asks her for a drink. You know, and you don't do things like that. A few years earlier, 35, 40 years earlier in actual fact, just before one of the great feasts of Passover in Jerusalem, the Samaritans took three dead bodies and left them in the temple. The Passover that year was cancelled because they couldn't hold it in the temple. Imagine coming to church on Easter Sunday and finding the doors locked with the sign up saying, "We can't have a service in here today because this church has been desecrated." You would be upset, annoyed, livid, whatever. This was the relationship. And that's what makes this story so great. Because this woman goes into her town and brings people out to listen to Jesus, saying, "I think he could be the Messiah." And Jesus stays with them for 2 days. So what you have is a despised race, a woman in a despised race, who becomes a great evangelist. I mean, it's not what is expected. But if she can do it, we're called to do it as well. I mean, Lent is the time when we ask ourselves, what sort of witness are we? How much are we prepared to stand up and speak about our faith? How much are we prepared to show our faith in action? Because that's what we're called to do. Christianity isn't something for an hour on a Sunday in a nice building. It'd be nice if it was a warm building as well, but it's in a nice building. It's more about living it out there. It's about meeting the people we don't know and which our country finds sometimes difficult. I mean, the Samaritans would be, well, depending on who you are and where you come from and what you think about things, but if you're a conservative politician at the present time, they would be the equivalent to boat people. You know, you don't want to get any of you. You don't want anywhere, want them anywhere. And yet, these are the people who are converted on hearing Christ. These are the people who had their lives changed by hearing the good news. And we live in a world, we live in a society, we live in a city that needs to hear that good news. There is brokenness all around us. We have it ourselves if we're honest. Our lives are not as perfect as our Instagram account would have you believe. We don't look as beautiful as our phones tell us. Looking at automatic things now on TikTok, even more beautiful, so we don't even recognize ourselves any longer. If we want to live in the real world, then it's God's world because he created it and he wants us to live in it. If you want some amazing existence, well, you've got to wait till you get to heaven. It's not here and now. But we can get a glimpse of it. We can see parts of it. Because if and when we live out our faith, we realize how important it is for us. It makes us better people. It makes us more caring people. And we put smiles on people's faces. If you put a spy cam up in our community pantry, you would see, I suspect, the look of worry, maybe even for some the look of shame, of walking in needing food. But you'd see the look of happiness on their face when they walk out. Not just because they've got food, no. But more importantly, people in our community have shown that they care for them. People in our street and in our church are taking actions to help others, to say, we realize you need help. We don't need to see your face to help you. We don't need to hear your story to help you. We just need to give you what you need. And maybe some of them will take it and not smile. But many of them do. And many of them, I'm sure, walk out with a silent prayer on their lips, thanking God that someone has helped them, because that's the world in which we live. That's the unfairness that we have. That a man who just talks about football on television gets paid over £1 million a year, and people in our country are starving. Is that really the sort of Christian country we want to be in? So we need to be like the Samaritan woman. We need to be people who will speak about Christ to others, who will bring them to see Christ and hear about him. And then stand back and marvel as their lives are changed, as hope is given to them, as community surrounds them, as they feel they have a future. And their future is the same as ours. It's not a the future about here and now. The future is about eternity. And whether we think we're loved by God or despised by others, we're called to walk in the same direction. We're called to carry a cross, and we're called to the joy of resurrection. So this week, think of someone on the margins who seems to be rejected, and see how you can help them in word, in prayer, or in action. Because if you do, it'll change your world and theirs.